was that? It's like everybody's over here, and I was thinking, it's because there were so many kids. There were like 20 kids over here. That's what happened. Yeah. Great. I thought I turned it on, but apparently not. Hello? Oops. Hello? I hit the button, but it didn't. There we go. Oh. Okay. All right, good. So I want to do a special welcome to our friends, David, Lorelei, and Beatrice from San Diego. Beatrice lives with us, except we don't live there anymore, but she still lives in our house. And David lived with us for a while, right? But now Beatrice lives with David, which is a good idea since they're married. They just got married in November. All right. You know, I like to notice some, just life every once in a while throws you something funny. Like, for example, Josh said, you know what, I've been given the honor of doing the Lord's Supper today, but he chooses who does the Lord's Supper. I don't know, I find that funny. Did anybody else find that funny? Dwayne found that funny. Okay. Thank you so much for giving me the honor, you know, whatever, okay. But speaking of funny, yeah, we did a hike up Tehachapi Mountain Peak on Friday. And apparently, I guess Bella went to like Denny's beforehand. And their coffee is $3, but it's as many cups as you want. So she went for 4 cups. So anyway, we were up there and she said, oh, there's a squirrel. Oh, look, oh, there's a tree. So next time with Bella, her limit should be 2 cups of coffee, okay? So, and, you know, I didn't think there was going to be snow up there, but there was actually quite a bit of snow. And so we're getting up near the top, and the snow's getting deeper and deeper. And I'm like, I think we should turn around the bells. No, we got to go to the top. But it was coming down. We had to slide down the snow. So anyway, the picture of Bella sliding. Anyway, it's a great picture there. Amen. Okay. And speaking of other funny things, the next funny thing is I probably have a reputation of being slightly not like the warmest, you know, affectionate guy. But you know what? This is so awesome because with the coronavirus, see, now I'm protecting your health. Right? Right? Because, you know, if you're really warm and, you know, that you're really endangering people, right? So we got a conference coming out this week, a teacher's conference in San Antonio that Greg Marutzkin are basically putting on. And so they sent out this thing, you know, be careful about hugging and stuff like that at the conference. I'm like, oh, give me a break, you know. But amen, I'm good for that. All right, great. So we're doing a 2-part series. Will the real Jesus please stand up? And we're going to look at 11 different Jesuses, which is the plural of Jesus. All right, and the 11th will be the correct one. And I'll just tell you what that is. That's the crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the real one. So we looked at, here we go. We looked at the Jesus who was created rather than being God. All right, and then we looked at, which, by the way, we said several scriptures where, you know, Jesus is God. And then we looked at the Jesus who was not really a person. He's just a mode or a particular aspect of this one thing, Father, maybe Son, sometimes Spirit, all right? And we decided that, no, since we're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that there's Jesus is a person who's not the same as the Father or the Son or the Spirit. Then, we talked about the Mormon Jesus, the Hindu Jesus. That's the Jesus who's kind of like, he's God, but then we're all God. And, you know, God is inside of you, and that's pantheism and all that kind of stuff. That's another Jesus. Then we talked about the Calvinist Jesus, and that's the Jesus who died only for the elect. Everybody else, out of luck, too bad for you. All right? And so And by the way, if you weren't here last Sunday, in every case, what we also did was show the scriptures that show the real actual Jesus, all right? Got it? So the next one, this one could be maybe just a little bit possibly controversial to talk about. And that's the black Jesus. All right? Amen, Tony? Amen? All right? I'm not sure exactly why he's doing the fist pump back there, but amen. Amen. All right. Now, again, you know, I could get yourself in a little bit of trouble here, but I had somebody just a couple weeks ago, somebody sent me a letter to my website and said, how come you're not talking about the black Jesus? You know, Jesus was African. And, you know, why are you covering up this, you know, why are you doing that? And to me, this is the Jesus that's used to divide people. So, I mean, is Jesus black? Is Jesus white? Does it matter? Does it matter? Because, you know, back in the day, there was the white Jesus, right? And really, that was a shameful thing. Because the honest truth is, even in our country right here in America, you know, the white Jesus was used to basically cut out black people. Yep. You know, it's a shameful past. And I don't know if we're ever going to put that completely behind us. And I think we, even if it's not you and me who did that, I think we need to be willing to apologize. Because imagine that, the idea that somehow, you know, the son of Ham and all this kind of stuff, oh my goodness. But does the color of Jesus really matter? Now, it does say in Isaiah 53 that there was nothing about him and his physical appearance that would attract us. Or I'm figuring Jesus probably was just sort of the average looking guy, like go to Jordan, right? The Palestinian, Canaanite. So, I don't know, you've seen people from the Middle East, all right? I kind of like the fact that he's not particularly dark and he's not particularly light, kind of right in between, you know, kind of like the Goldilocks, I don't know. But really, there you go. That kind of like Mexican. Yeah. Okay. But again, the point is, Jesus didn't come to divide people. So, you know, there's the Republican Jesus. Or there's the Democrat Jesus. Seriously? Or there's the, you know, the communist or the socialist Jesus. Or there's the, you know, capitalist Jesus. Jesus does not want to be associated with any of these things that cause division. You know, in fact, here's the question that came on my website. He said, I thank you for highlighting that Jesus was a real person and his story can be backed up by multiple accounts. I'm a believer, but my question to you is, why do you admit the fact of Jesus' black skin color or his African Hebrew heritage? Like, because it's not true. But really, does it matter? Does it really matter? This is not the Jesus of the Bible, who, by the way, was Jewish. He probably appeared like a Palestinian person today. But this really would be the Jesus who divides people. And Jesus did not come to divide. He came to create unity. Right? Did Jesus ever create division? Oh, yes, he did. Absolutely. He said, I came to bring a sword. And I came to bring a sword that would divide mother from sister and father from child. But that division is based on whether we will submit to his will or not. The division is based on righteousness through Jesus' blood or those who rebel and refuse to come to Jesus. But let us never, ever use Jesus to support our political, racial, or whatever agenda. Because that is not the Jesus that I know about. Amen? Yeah, I made that point in the church down at Metro Region in L.A., and that region's about 70-80% black. And I was like, am I going to get in big trouble for this? And they were like, amen, brother, amen, amen. All right, good. Shoo. All right. Oh, I was worried. All right, then there's the liberal Jesus. All right, this is the progressive Jesus. You know, this is a Jesus who was just a social revolutionary. He came here to fight against social injustice. A preacher of social justice only. Now, did Jesus preach about social justice? Yeah, are you kidding? But is he a bit more than a social revolutionary? Yeah, he's like God. He's like creator of the universe. This is the Jesus of scholars who deny his deity and who deny the inspiration of the Bible. This is, you know, this is the Jesus actually at most universities. This is the Jesus for most professors who teach Christianity. I had some students who were taking Christianity 101 or Religion 101 at San Diego State, and they had to come to our home every Monday night so we could undo the junk. This is the Jesus who, you know, he was a good guy and, you know, he cared about the poor people, and that's all he was. But they forget that Jesus fulfilled all the prophecies of the Messiah. They forget the empty tomb. And tombs don't get empty because you're a social revolutionary. Tombs get empty because God raised people from the dead. So I don't believe in the liberal Jesus. I believe in the Jesus who is the Son of God and who is, in fact, God. The next Jesus is okay, could somebody be forward it for me or something? Okay, great. The universalist Jesus. This is the nice Jesus who would never judge anybody. This is the non-judgmental Jesus. This is the Jesus who denies the reality of hell. This is a much more popular Jesus than just a few years ago. One of the most well-known online preacher guys is a guy named Robert Bell, Rob Bell. And you probably a lot of you have even listened to some of his lessons. But he denies that hell is real. The problem with that is, hell is real. This is the Jesus of funerals. Right? Have you ever been to a funeral and they say, you know, this person is probably going to hell? Because Jesus said, wide is the road and easy the way that leads to destruction. But narrow is the gate and difficult is the road that leads to eternal life, and few find it. So I don't know what percentage that is, but how come it is that like 99% of all funerals, oh yeah, they're going to be with us, and so great, we're going to be with them. Really? Okay, I hope so. Now, I preached a funeral several years ago. A good friend of ours whose daughter had been murdered by her drug dealer boyfriend, and she was a drug addict herself. And she was the parent of a son who was not quite two, who was the child of a different drug dealer that was her former boyfriend. So what was I going to say at that funeral? I'm so glad that Marcel is going to be with us in heaven. I couldn't say that. It's not my place to say that. In fact, honestly, I don't think she's going to be. I hope she will be. But, you know, so this is the nice Jesus. Now, Jesus was gentle. Jesus was incredibly gentle. It says in Isaiah, I believe it's 42, that, you know, a bruised reed he did not break. Jesus was patient, loving, kind, but nice. Nice means, oh, everybody's okay and everything's nice and everything's, you know. This is the Jesus that would not ever judge anybody. This is the Jesus of the Unitarian Universalist Church and many other churches that teach that everybody's going to heaven. This is the Jesus of most Americans. If it weren't true, then how come it is that 99% of funerals, they're going to be with us, they're great, and we're going to see them just so soon, and it's going to be great. Now, Jesus did say In John 12:48, he says, if anyone hears my words but does not keep them, he says, I do not judge that person, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. And it's true. You know what? Jesus did not come to judge the world. In John 1:1, it says, Jesus came full of grace and truth. So Jesus, the purpose of Jesus coming to this earth was not to judge, but to save. Does that mean Jesus will not judge? No, it doesn't mean that at all. So it is true, and I suppose you could take a verse out of context if you wanted to, that Jesus did not come here to judge. He came here to die and to save us. Does that mean Jesus will not judge? It doesn't mean that at all. It doesn't mean that at all. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus will judge the living and the dead. And in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge, preach the word. This is the Jesus who is not going to come on a white horse at the end of time with a sword in his hand. But the problem is, that's not the Jesus of the Bible. You know, Jesus, it's true, when he came here, he did not come to judge. Aren't you glad they didn't come to judge? Because if he came to judge, we'd all be toast already. He came to save us. But we should not put God's patience to the test, could we? Because when Jesus comes back, it's going to be to save those who have been committed to him, but to judge those who have not. And that's a Jesus that I want to meet without being ready. No, I want to be ready. In Amos 5:24, it says, let justice roll on like a river. And then there's Galatians, and then there's the parable of the banquet. You know, the guy who's at the banquet, and he's like, you know, everybody's there at the banquet, and he's like, this is good to go. Man, I'm so glad we're all here. This is great, everybody here. And then the guy who's running the banquet comes in and says, who's that guy? He doesn't have the right clothes on. Kick him out where there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There are a lot of people who think they're wearing the right clothes. Baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. So who was this guy at the banquet? I don't know. I think he's somebody who thought he was a Christian, but he'd not been baptized into Christ. He didn't have the right clothes on. So this Jesus, this nice Jesus who doesn't judge, I don't know, that's not the Jesus I read about in the Bible. Like I said, I'm so glad that Jesus came to save, not to judge. But if you think that God is not going to judge those who rebel against him, you got another thing coming. That's what my mother used to say. If you think such and such, you'd say, you have another thing coming. Did your parents ever say that? You know what that other thing coming was, right? Yeah, it was a spanking. Yeah. I remember the time my brother got spanked, and you know, she spanked him, and he said, that tickled. That was a mistake right there. Okay. She made sure that it didn't tickle. All right. So, again, the Jesus I believe in is not the black Jesus. It's not the white Jesus. It's not the Jesus that divides on race or politics. And it's also not the nice Jesus, who's just so nice, they would never judge anybody. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. The next Jesus I want to talk about is the prosperity gospel Jesus. Forgive me, but I'm just going to point it out. All right, there you go. There you go. You know, he's got great websites. He's got his hair is the right amount of gel and all that sort of stuff. This is the Jesus that wants to make you have as much money as you want. And, you know, you become a Christian and then you're going to have a great job. You'll never be sick. All your friends will love you. And it's just going to be this awesome thing. Like the cosmic butler. Jesus says, yes, sir, if you want it, you got it. Everything you want, I'm there for you, all right? Because that's not the Jesus that I know. This is the Jesus who, you know, the prayer of Jabez thing. You know, the whole prayer of Jabez. By the way, the prayer of Jabez, it's right in the Bible. They have whole books about it. All right, Elizabeth, what's the prayer of Jabez? Just trust me, it's a thing. It's a big thing. It's a big thing online. All right, it's 1 Chronicles 4:10. Bless me indeed, enlarge my territory. And I'm telling you, this is the gospel preached in most churches. Honestly. I've been to Africa many times, and this is almost the only thing you hear. Come to church and you have miracles in your life, and you're going to have money and success and jobs and all this kind of stuff. In fact, I was preaching once in Port Harcourt in Nigeria, and this preacher from another church came and said, "Thank you for not preaching prosperity gospel. Thank you, thank you." You know what? The Bible says that people are going to want to hear what their itching ears want to hear. And wouldn't it be nice if all you had to do was pray Jesus into your heart and then you got all kinds of money and fame and fortune and all that kind of stuff. By the way, I totally believe that God wants to bless you. In fact, doesn't the Bible say anyone who gives up everything he has will receive 100-fold? 100-fold. So that means if you have $1,000 in your bank account, the day you get baptized, it's $100,000, right? I don't think that's what he's talking about. He says, you know, 100-fold, brothers, fields, and all that, and with them, persecutions. Oh, yeah, persecutions. There's that as well. This is the Jesus who serves us, but doesn't really ask us to serve him very much at all. Certainly, it's not the Jesus who's Lord. This is the Jesus of the Jews in the book of Malachi. I don't remember, I did a sermon about Malachi. And they were saying to God, "You stopped loving us." And God said, "I never stopped loving you." He said, "Jacob I loved, Esau I hated." He said, "I want to bless you, but you're not being faithful to me. And if you're not being faithful to me, do you expect me to bless you just because... you know, just because you want that?" That's not the Jesus that I've heard about. It's not the Jesus I find in the Bible. You know, there's the famous passage, Jeremiah 29:11, right? It says, you know, God wants to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. And that is so true. But did you ever read the context of that passage? He says, after 70 years of captivity and suffering because of the sins you committed, then I'm going to come and bless you. All right? Philippians 3:10, Paul said, "I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of the resurrection and participating in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death." How do we become like Jesus according to that? By participating in his sufferings. He says, And it says, and somehow completing the suffering of Christ. You know, we've been studying Philippians at the campus group on Wednesday night. And in Philippians, Paul says, "For me to live as Christ and have lots of money in the bank and have a really great job. And to have lots of health and wealth." No, he said, "For me to live as Christ, to die is gain." That's Philippians 1:21. Does Jesus want us to prosper? Of course he does. He's a father. He could just well be a mother. What does a father or mother want for their children? You know what they want for their children. But are they going to spoil their children? If you love your children, are you going to give them Fruit Loops every time they want Fruit Loops? No. In 2 Timothy 3:12 it says, "In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." The prosperity Jesus, that's not the Jesus I read about. No, this is the Jesus who will use discipline because he loves us. And I really believe Jesus wants to prosper you. But that what he wants to give you may not be the thing that you want. You want to have a spouse. Well, maybe he wants you to have a spouse. Maybe he has something better for you. Is there something better than a spouse? Yeah, how about eternal life? How about helping thousands of people to go to heaven? Paul didn't get a spouse. Was he complaining? Okay. Now, does God want you to have a spouse? Probably. I don't know. If the answer is yes, definitely, then to some extent, I think that's the prosperity gospel. I don't know. All right. The next Jesus I want to say something about, the next last one, is the... Sorry about that. I keep forgetting to... There you go. There's the slide I should have shown you about the prosperity Jesus. Okay. The magical Jesus. Now, the magical Jesus is a little bit like the prosperity gospel Jesus. This is the Jesus who does miracles willy-nilly, just because we want him to. This is the... In fact, I get a lot of questions at my website. What can I say? And this was seemed like a fairly young person whose preacher told her that God heals all sicknesses. And she said, no, he doesn't. And the preacher told her that she's a weak Christian because she thinks that God does not necessarily heal all sickness. Now, on this one, this is a hard thing to know how to talk about, because the honest truth is, from those of you who've been in our church for a while, from our Church of Christ background, we tend to kind of deny miracles sometimes. That's kind of the Church of Christ thing, honestly. And I believe that God heals people. I believe that God could even, he might even change the red light to green to get you to work on time. If it was important enough to him, I think he could. But you know what? I think probably just leave that in God's hands. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of people are putting God to the test. They're being told that, that God will give you, open the door, close the door. Yeah, this is the God who's always opening doors and always closing doors. This is the God who has the perfect spouse for you. God has already chosen that perfect spouse for you. You just have to find it. This is kind of the magic Jesus, the magic wand Jesus. All right? This is the Jesus, people say, yeah, God told me to tell you this, and God told me this, and God told me that. Really? How do you know that? I mean, maybe. It's possible. I think instead what we should say is, you know what? I believe that this is what God wants you to hear. All right? Again, as a church, we've tended to not acknowledge how much the Holy Spirit does work in our life. All right? So I don't want to get people to overact here. But this magical Jesus, magic wand, and yeah, God opened the door, and all I know is if God opens the door, then I'll go there. If he closes the door, then I won't. Well, maybe you should use some wisdom, and maybe you should pray about it. I don't really know about that. Maybe yes, maybe no. All right? Jesus is concerned with spiritual illness, not primarily with physical illness. And Paul prayed 3 times. For God to take away the thorn in the flesh. And what did God say to that? God said, no. He said, my power is made perfect in your awesome health. And all these miracles happening to you all the time. No. God said to Paul, my power is made perfect in weakness. You know, Jesus healed many, many people out of compassion. And God answers prayer. God can heal people, and he will heal people. But let's not put him to the test. Let's not do that. Because you know what? Everyone in this room is going to die. Everyone in this room is going to get sick. Right? Right now, our dog is really sick. And you know what? I was praying for our dog. I was praying for our dog. Amen? It's okay. You could even pray about your dog. Because God is a compassionate God. But he's not a magician. And, dogs get sick and people die. But you know what? The important thing is to be with God for eternity. All right. The last Jesus, that's the real one. All right. That's the real one. That's the biblical Jesus. Remember, we're going to get back to Mark. We're going to be finishing up Mark sometime in April, maybe in March. We'll see. And so we have our theme verse from Mark, don't we? which said, for the Son of God did not come to serve, to be served rather, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who, of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The Jesus that I worship is a powerful Jesus. The Jesus that I worship is a saving Jesus. But he's also a Jesus who is going to judge. He is God in the flesh. And he is not the Father. He's the Son. He's not the Spirit. 1 John 4:10 says, this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave himself as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That's the real Jesus. That's the Jesus I want us to be worshiping around here. Not the one who is nice. You know, part of me wishes that God was nice, you know. If God asked my opinion, I'd say, sure, let them all go to heaven. That'd be good enough for me. But, you know, God is a righteous God. And you don't be putting him to the test. And those who refuse to love him will be separated from him for eternity. But the Jesus that I worship is a Jesus of love. He's a Jesus of sacrifice. He's a Jesus who was without sin. He's not the liberal Jesus. He's the Jesus who was prophesied in the Old Testament. He's the one about whom the entire Old Testament was written. That's the Jesus I believe in, the one who came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for everyone in this room. Thank you very much. Sorry about that.
Let's go, Brother Josh.
Let's go, Josh.
I usually finish around at the hour.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate that. All right, so this is the time where, amen, yes, I still have...
Come on, Josh.
Contribution. yes, get to. Now I got to. So I just want to lead our hearts in.